This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz. This is episode 188, and today we're going to talk about music in the homeschool. I'm really excited because I've got Meredith Curtis on the line, and we've got some amazing sponsors. The first is homemusictools.com, and when the owner, Sean Dearhart, approached me via email, he shared he was a homeschool dad, and I loved what he said. He said, "I know we as homeschoolers strive for academic excellence, so why not add a musical education to the mix and go even further?" We are going to be hearing a little bit more about homemusictools.com a little later in this broadcast. And I also want to thank our network sponsor, the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, and Vintage Homeschool Moms has a sponsor, and that is Sony Pictures and the movie Smurfs, The Lost Village. So be sure to check out the Christian study guide for this movie that's on our show notes page. And it's thanks to sponsors that we bring you these shows for no cost at all. You can listen on our website, download it on iTunes, Google Play, or any podcast app. And I'm excited because today we are going to be talking about music. And I've got to tell you, Meredith, as you know, my family is not particularly musical, but we love music and we love to sing. But your family is. So, Meredith Curtis, you can share your websites as well as Meredith's podcast on this network. I'll share this for you. If I let you talk, Meredith, right? she has a podcast on the network, so go ahead, share that with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Felice. And we do. We love music in our house, and everyone in my family is involved in music in some capacity, either mixing sound or singing or playing an instrument. So, or actually playing several instruments. So, my name is Meredith Curtis, and I have a podcast on the Ultimate Homeschool Network on Finish Well Radio. And we love that. And it's, we'd love to have you tune in. It's Monday, first Monday of the month. Sometimes there's a second. And we target teens, homeschool teens, and their parents, and we cover all kinds of neat stuff. The show coming up next Monday is I'd Rather Be Texting, and of course I'm sure that is something that homeschool parents have to think about. My website is MeredithCurtis.com, and you can also find me on JSHomeschooling.com. finishwellcon.com, and you can buy my books on powerlineprod.com. So thank you, and I'm ready and excited to talk about music.
Wonderful. And I always laugh when I think about music in our family and lessons. Meredith, we had a lady by the name of Miss Betsy, and Miss Betsy told us when we interviewed her, my husband and I, that, you know, she was a very low-key music teacher, you know, teaching my kids piano. And this is, the middle kids, I guess. That would be Nicholas and Annie. And that she was, you know, really encouraging because she had had a music teacher that wasn't very encouraging. And at one point, she just told me, "Your kids have no rhythm." I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. So the kids, unfortunately, overheard that, and they were going around telling people they flunked Miss Betsy. When you did not flunk Miss Betsy. She did bring a big bag of candy, and, she was really encouraging in that way because they always got their candy. But, you know, some kids are just more adept to music and others are not. And so we did things like using the recorder in the home. That worked out really well because it had, you know, the ones I bought had these little pieces you stuck on the recorder and you could follow the book. And they actually did well in My one child, Annie, had asked for a nicer one for Christmas one year, and she would practice. You know, you could hear the squeaky notes on occasion. But, you know, they did a lot of that kind of thing on their own, because I think they were introduced at least to music. But share with us, because I know you run the music ministry. Your husband's a pastor and pastors a church in Orlando. Share about that if people are in the Orlando area.
Oh, thank you. Yes. My husband pastors a church called Powerline Community Church, and we meet in Sanford Lake Mary area off of Airport Boulevard near Old Lake Mary Road. And so you can look up our website, powerlinecc.com. And I would just say this, Felice, when you are thinking about music, there are certain people who are just born with an incredible gift to create music. They have an ear for music. They have a natural rhythm. They have a natural pitch. I've even met people who, you know, they can just listen to something and duplicate it without ever seeing a piece of sheet music.
Mm.
And there are other people who do not seem, no matter what you do, that they can get rhythm or they can get, you know, tone or pitch or, you know, play an instrument. But I think those people, to be honest with you, are very rare. I think the average person can acquire musical ability, though, you know, with some people it will come more naturally than others. Most people who are skilled musicians spend hours and hours a day practicing. It's not just something they were born with. And so that's, you know, I'm going to talk about that later, but that's just something to keep in mind, that sometimes we just write off our children because they don't have that very rare natural talent to seemingly play music with no lessons. But the average musician, the average very skilled musician, didn't really have an extraordinary talent, but they were taught. They learned and they practiced and they kept practicing, and that really is the difference. So if you're listening, don't write your kids off, because there may be a musician inside them yet.
I wish I had talked to you before, right? Okay, well, we've seen, and Mary Beth is always so encouraging. It's so great. So we're going to talk, first of all, about the fact that music is mathematical. So talk about that.
Oh, yes. One of the things, I'm going to give you an example. We're singing a song. It's by Third Day. We haven't sung it in years. And when we used to sing it years ago, it was led by a man. Right now, we have guys on the worship team, but they play instruments, and we don't have any guys that do much singing. And so Juliana was leading the song, and the key did not work for her. So my response was, okay, hey, let's sit at the keyboard tomorrow. We'll try it out in a couple different keys, and we'll find a new key. And that will work for you singing the song. So, you know, we decided not to do the song that week. And why was that a possibility, that we could just change the key? And that's because music is mathematical, and you have different scales of music, and each scale is built on a mathematical sequence or pattern that is whole step, whole step, half step, whole step, whole step, whole step, half step. And so if I'm in the key of C, it would be whole step would be C, D, then half, I mean, whole step would be C to D, D to E, and then a half step, E to F, and then you on and on. And so if I want to sit down and play a key, any key will be exactly the same, but it will start with different notes, but it will still have that pattern of whole step, half step, whole step, whole step, whole step, half step. And so it's very interesting to see, and I've seen this a lot, that a lot of times children that are naturally gifted musically are naturally gifted mathematically, because music is very mathematical. But if you begin to take music, especially piano, and I'm going to talk about piano later because I love piano lessons for kids, and even if they never pursue it the rest of their life, there's just so much that is built into a child academically. from taking piano. And one of the things is that piano is such a simple instrument, and it's so easy to see the patterns, the musical patterns, come alive. And you can see that in chords, and you can see that in scales, in rhythm, in all of those things. They're all based on patterns, mathematical patterns. And so, you know, you think, oh, I'm just making pretty noise, but really you're doing something that is mathematical in nature and can have an impact on, you know, on children academically.
Very good. And I think that really helps. You know, I wish, again, that I had known you back then, because it is really, you know, disappointing for the kids when they're not given that encouragement, especially from someone that they, you know, trust and that sort of thing. And so, you know, I really, you know, kept encouraging my kids that it wasn't the end of the world, and, you know, that they could continue on with their music if they wanted to. But of course, at that point, they were pretty much done. But I think that, you know, it did transfer on, because my daughter has another homeschooler who comes to her house, and she is a young girl, and she's teaching my grandkids now. And so that makes it super fun for them to have somebody who does that. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we are going to continue discussing the importance of music in your homeschool. We'll be right back.
As a parent, you chose homeschooling to provide a better education for your children. Why not add a love of music to their academics? At HomeMusicTools.com, we are parents, homeschoolers, and musicians, and we have the tools to help you provide a fun music education for your children. We carry guitars, drums, bass guitars, along with orchestra and band instruments, and we carry a wide range of music education books and instructional CDs and DVDs. Music has no age at HomeMusicTools.com.
Now, the Blue Crew is back.
Let's go have some fun.
In their first fully animated adventure.
Nailed it.
To escape a dangerous, undiscovered world, the Smurfs will have to team up with a whole new tribe.
A village full of girls.
Hey,
freak out, you guys.
Smurfs, The Lost Village. Rated PG. Exclusively from Affirm Films. Get a free Bible-based discussion guide. Visit AffirmFilms.com to download it for free. And enjoy great discussions with your whole family about the importance of purpose, friendship, honesty, and loyalty. As seen in Smurfs, The Lost Village. Now playing.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome back. This is Felice Gerwitz with Meredith Curtis on the line, and today we're talking about the importance of music in your home school. This is episode 188. You can find the show notes on Vintage Homeschool Moms, and we want to thank our sponsors, Sean Dearhart with HomeMusicTools.com, and also Sony Pictures with the movie Smurfs The Lost Village, and be sure to check out those links on our website. Well, Meredith, we were talking earlier about music and how it's mathematical and really helps kids with their math as well. But music is also emotional. And I have to say that, you know, anytime I'm really upset, I go to certain music that I like. You know, it used to be a CD that I would play. Now, of course, you know, we've got things on our phone. And so it's wonderful to be able to be consoled, you know, with music when we're upset. So you want to share about that as well, how it's a great outlet for emotion.
Absolutely. And especially for teenagers, when they have an instrument that they can play and, you know, they're able, when they go through that teenage angst or all these different emotions, they're able to play an instrument, they're able to sing, they're able to listen to music. All of those can have a tremendous impact on giving them that outlet, that instead of the emotion staying bottled up. I don't think it's a coincidence that when we're told to worship God, we're told, sing a new song, burst into song, sing to the Lord. I mean, if you just go through the Psalms and count how many times God says, for us to sing to him. Well, why is that? Why can't we just say, oh, Lord, I worship you? Because something happens when we actually sing, and it infuses those words with emotion, and it carries those words from our heart to another place, and it stirs up emotions in us. And I'm sure all of you have seen an angry person listen to hard driving music, and the music makes them more angry, but that same angry person listens to calm soothing music and can calm down. So in the same way, you know, music is emotional in itself. It can stir up our emotions. We can use music for the glory of God. We can use it to stir up the flesh. It's really our choice, but it's an amazing tool to put in the hands of children. And it's not just creating our own music, but learning to really enjoy all kinds of music, because every culture has their own music. Every, you know, throughout history, there have been different music, and Hebrew music is so fun, and it's especially fun if you've ever done, like, Hebrew dancing, and that's really, you know, really exciting, or folk dancing, or, you know, the polka. Like, there's just such a wide variety of different music, and along with music, moving your body to music. If you just start fresh with little children, and you just put music on without realizing it, and just watch them, little children will start to move. They'll find the beat, and they'll start moving to that beat in a very natural way. So really, you know, you can't introduce music too young to children. And one of the first, the basis of music, the foundation of a song, of a musical composition, would be the rhythm. And if you want to begin to introduce your children to music, no matter how old or young they are, start with clapping and simply playing songs and finding the rhythm, the count. And a lot of songs are in 4/4 times, so there's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, and you start to notice that, you know, there's a little bit of a different emphasis on that first beat, and you can kind of hear that 1, 2, 3, 4. And, you know, listen to little things like that. But just learning to clap along, learning to find a beat, learning to feel a rhythm and dance to it, all of those things lay a foundation for actually teaching music to your children. I remember when I was taking piano when I was a little girl, and my teacher was an older lady, very, very godly, but she had a ruler. This is back in the days, Felice, you know, when teachers used right. rulers. I don't know if you remember. And
yeah,
so
I do.
If I was playing my scales and I was not counting, she would slap my hand with a ruler. And I'm not advocating that. I mean, music should be fun and mistakes are okay. But rhythm is a really fun thing for children, and doing like music games with little ones where there's kind of like a sing-songiness to a song. All of those things help instill rhythm in a child and give them an enjoyment of music. So when they think of music, they think of something fun and happy. And I really believe in that, you know, that in learning music, it should be fun. It should be happy, because I want my children to use music to express their love and their joy, or even their sorrow, but to the Lord mm-hmm. in a way that's really positive.
Right. And then also we introduce music, and, you know, I want to add that element too, in studying music with studying the composers. And my favorite is the classical music. And learning about all the composers, you know, sometimes a lot of mess, but especially for the children to understand, you know, who wrote different pieces. So if they hear a piece, they can say, oh, that was Tchaikovsky, or that's a Bach, or, you know, have some kind of an understanding of the classical composers. And I remember listening to that with the children and doing entire units. And we tended to do that for some reason. Before the holidays, you know, I felt like that was the time to study music. And, you know, before Christmas time, before Christmas break, or even If we were taking a break, that would be something that I would have on the back in the background. And my daughter to this day, the Christina, the older one, who's married with babes of her own, she goes, "You had one of the classical pieces that we used to cling to because it was, you know, a really upbeat, you know, instrumental, you know, that got us all going." And she goes, "You know, that was pretty sneaky on your part." But I said, "Well, it was very upbeat and exciting, so you know, we would all be clinging to the music." So, have you done that too, studying the composers?
Oh yes, I love doing that. I love doing whenever we study history, we always include music and listen to music, and just a really easy thing to do if you're listening to classical music and you know you want your children to kind of appreciate music, is to say, "Hey, can you hear, like, are there parts of the song that sound the same and then parts of the song that are different? Can you hear when it goes back to that original part or that second part?" And that helps children begin to see patterns when you're listening to hymns or worship songs. You can ask children about, like, well, what's the chorus of that song, and how often do they go back to that song, and things like that. And that helps them even more fully to enjoy and appreciate the music. Good music will move from the beginning to the end, and there'll be a feeling that almost like you're on a journey once you start a song until the final ending. And you know, you can talk about that and how does one part of a song make you want to hear the next part and things like that. And so those are all wonderful ways to enjoy music.
Right. And also the instruments, listening to the musical instruments. We had several games that had musical instruments. And I have to tell you, telling on myself again, my musical ineptitude. One of the games did not come with an answer key. And they were just assuming that any parent who bought the set would, and it was back in the day of cassette players, and I'm dating myself, you know, us with rulers and cassette players. This is vintage homeschool mom. But I had a friend of mine whose husband also was in charge of the choir at his church, and she was really good with music as well. So she had to listen to the cassette with me, and we had to, you know, go through and label the different instruments, because some of them, you know, like the oboe is one that is a little bit hard to differentiate, you know, like, you know, what exactly is that? And, you know, like the trumpet and the flute and, you know, the bass drums and things, the tambourine, you know, cymbals, I could do those, the triangle. I got that one. But it was really a cute game, because when you heard that instrument, you could move that many pieces to wherever it was. And it was often, like, it was in the board often. So, you know, it was, you know, three up is the triangle, and they would just randomly play these things. And then there was one side where you would just listen to it and learn what the sounds were. So it was great, because you could do that with the classical music once you understood what those sounds were like. And then the culmination was with us, especially, was having especially homeschoolers that played in different programs. Like, we have a big, like the Barbara B. Mann Performing Arts Studio, or that hall is nearby. It's part of the college. And so we could go there, and sometimes, you know, it was a minimal fee, or it was free, you know, for when the students were playing. And going to hear them perform, and the kids love that. You know, they got to dress up, and I remember my oldest, Neil especially, he would sit at the edge of his seat, Meredith. He loved it so much.
Aww.
And really enjoyed it, you know. So that is so great.
That's awesome. And I know some of you are listening and probably thinking, well, you know, where do I start with teaching my kids to play an instrument or to sing? And so I just want to walk you through some basics of that, and I'm going to encourage the piano, starting with the piano, and I know that most people's first thought is, oh my goodness, they're so expensive. And the reason I would say a piano is because when you take piano lessons, if you take 2 years of piano lessons, you have music theory pretty much down pat, and the piano is so visual, and it's laid out on this long keyboard, and all the rules of music are so visible, whereas the guitar is a little bit more tricky with the strings and the different frets. But once you, whatever you learn on the piano, you can actually transfer to other instruments. And right now, with keyboards, the way they make keyboards, you could pick up a piano-sized keyboard that has weighted keys, which means if you press harder, they'll make a louder noise like a real piano. If you press softer, it will make softer noise like a real piano. You can pick up a nice keyboard like that for $500, which I know is expensive, but I do believe if you're going to teach your children instruments, to go ahead and buy, you know, a pretty quality instrument. You know, don't buy a $20 guitar, but buy like a $100, $200 guitar at least. So I would say start with piano lessons. And, you know, there's a lot of people who can teach first and second year piano. Bastion, John Thompson, those are great book companies to use. There's also Schwamm, but it's very easy to find someone who maybe has taken 4 years of piano and is willing to teach piano lessons. And even just looking around your church, in the church choir, on the church worship team, you could probably find someone that would be willing to even give you like a group rate. Like, what would you pay to take 2 hours and give piano lessons to my 7 children? And a lot of times she'll be able to work out something that's a pretty reasonable deal. Piano lessons, I would say, should include learning simple scales, just starting with 1 octave scales in one key, and then moving to several octaves, you know, as you're moving through levels. But what happens is a piano is a great springboard for other instruments. Some of your students may want to become vocalists, and they may want to really work on their singing voice. A voice is an instrument. And, you know, I know Juliana was singing on the worship team, and then she decided to take voice lessons. And when she took voice lessons, she realized that she wasn't really singing in her natural range, and she was able to really develop and grow her voice. So, you know, if your child has a nice voice, you might invest in a year of voice lessons, but I would still do the piano first. A lot mm-hmm. of kids love to play guitar, and guitar is a great instrument to play. One of the reasons I love guitar is because you can take your guitar with you wherever you go. You can take your guitar to a Bible study and lead worship. You can take your guitar to the beach and sing songs. I mean, it's just such a mobile instrument, and everybody loves to hear the guitar. Again, I would really encourage, if you're going to have your student wants to play guitar, to have them take piano first so that they actually know music theory. A lot of people can play chords on a guitar. I run into this all the time as a worship leader, but they don't really know a lot about music. And starting with piano lessons kind of helps that, where they can pick up sheet music and read it and things like that if you take piano. And if you are a guitar player, and I would encourage you, you know, add another instrument. Most people, once they play piano and guitar, they move into a lot of different instruments. You don't have to go from piano to guitar. A band is full of all kinds of instruments, and you can pick up a homeschool band. A lot of areas have a homeschool band. So that's, you know, that's something to look into as well. There's a lot of larger churches that actually have pretty much orchestras as their worship team. So once you do learn an instrument and learn to play it skillfully, most of your children will be able to find avenues to play. They might play at holiday dinners, or they might play for church, or, you know, different things. But how does someone go from being, you know, playing an instrument to becoming a musician? Well, a musician sees themselves in a serious study of music. And so one of the things that a musician does is they practice. And no one is too good to need to practice. And I have had really skilled musicians play for me that didn't practice during the week. And then, you know, because their level, they were just too good, you know, they could pick it up easily, but they would end up making a lot of mistakes when they played. So, you know, practice is not something that goes away for a musician. A good musician does practice, and not just songs they're going to perform, but a good musician practices scales. They practice fingering. They practice drills and all, even drummers. You can buy little drum heads and then little pads, drum pads, and you just take your sticks and they're books. I actually have a book in my house that's just drum drills, and you just do different rhythms on this pad, and it builds your rhythm and your abilities to do things. So practicing is a huge thing. Also, a musician wants to grow in their gifts. So I've never met a musician that was like perfect in every area of music. Most people struggle with one or two different things. I know for me, I really struggle with keeping a steady rhythm. And when my drummer isn't drumming, I have to tap my leg to keep the beat, because I just don't naturally have that beat going in my head. So when a musician will develop the things they're good at, but they'll also kind of hone up the things that they struggle with. And like I said, most musicians, they're not all there. There's usually something that is more of a struggle than the other things. And then they take care of their instrument. They learn and grow to do new things on their instrument. And a good musician listens to the music, like if a good piano player will listen to other piano players, will get advice from other piano players. So anyway, those are just some tips. Your child, you know, I wouldn't expect a 10-year-old kid to become a serious musician, but if as a parent, if you instill in your child, you know, this is a really cool thing. You're getting to learn music, and I am going to require that you practice, you know, for 15 minutes, 5 days a week, or 30 minutes, 3 days a week, or whatever you decide. But if kids put in their time of practice, they will improve. And also, as far as music goes with practice, practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. So if a child is playing something wrong and they keep practicing it, it will just become a permanent problem. So, you know, teach your children that, to be able to hear, listen, am I playing it correctly? You know, if I'm doing something wrong, let me go back and work on this measure several times until I get it right. And then I can practice. And it's worth the 30 minutes to work on that measure. And then maybe you only played the piece through once. But the next day when you go to play that piece five times, then you're going to have it right. So I would just really keep it lighthearted when kids are starting out, when they're younger. Some kids will say, hey, I want to pursue music. I know my friend Marla, she majored in piano performance. And when she was in college, along with all of her really difficult classes, she was practicing 4 hours a day. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about a career, because there's a difference between like wanting to be a star and wanting to be a musician, and help your kids to be able to see the difference, because, you know, being a musician is a lot of work, but there's a lot of reward as well from that.
That's wonderful, Meredith. And there's show notes about everything that we've talked about today on this episode, and then you can find that on our website at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, episode 188. And the title, which I probably have not told you what that is because it changes all the time, is Music 101 in the Homeschool. So you can find that on our website as well. Well, Meredith, thank you so much for coming on. As always, you are super informative when it comes to this area, and I'm just really blessed to have you as my friend because I love how much you love music and how you've shared your gift, and I've been able to hear you play and hear your worship team, which is really, really amazing. So if you guys get a chance, you're in the Orlando area, visit the church where Meredith plays on Sundays. And what time are your services?
Powerline Community Church, and we meet 10 a.m. Sunday mornings.
Okay, wonderful. And you guys can check out the website as well. Well, thank you so much again, Meredith. We want to thank all of our sponsors. Once again, we want to thank HomeMusicTools.com and the owner, Sean Dearhart, who is a homeschool dad, and also thank Sony Pictures and the movie The Smurfs, The Lost Village, which is coming to a theater near you. We're actually recording this before the movie goes live, but I'm sure it is out there now. So thanks again for listening, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and DaVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.